Thank you, Stefan. This is the session of about GNSO outreach, and I wonder, Glenn or Marika, you have the slides available, which I sent to Glenn. Yes, Glenn will come up. I sent some of them slides to Glenn, and so in between, until the presentation comes up, I would like to remind you that the item of GNSO outreach has been dealt with over a long period of time, and is part of the improvement process of the GNSO. And we had also talked about, and we had motions on the council, which we talked about, and the outcome of this discussion and the voting on the motion seemed to be not satisfactorily to let me say the majority of us, and so that was the reason why we put that on the agenda again. And in this respect, I would like just to come back at first briefly to also to the audience here in the, in this room, because they are also invited well to contribute to the discussion on that. And at first, I would like just to refer to what Liz, the last in our council session, presented, just a brief overview of the history, and then come up to the points which we have to talk about and what should be the next steps of that. The next item, yes. So just coming back briefly to the background is what was done in the past. So we had... starting from the July 2008, the Board Governance Committee came up with a report on improvements, and there was, with regard to the, to outreach, there was a directive written. That means there, the GNSO had to develop global outreach programs aimed at increasing participation in constituencies and the GNSO policy process. And following so the implementation process of the improvements, the so-called Operation Steering Committee dealt with that item and directs the constituency and stakeholder group operations team, that was the team working under the OSC, to develop outreach program and other tasks. And there was participation from all groups, stakeholder groups within the GNSO in that. So over the last year, we dealt with the report itself and the recommendations of that report. And the report, the main item of that report was to establish a so-called outreach task force dealing with the strategy for outreach, GNSO outreach. And it was put on, as a process, is put on open comment, and then there was a drafting team was charter drafting team was convened, and they came up with a draft charter, and that charter was provided to the council to move, and the council defeated that motion about that. And as a follow-up, at the end of last year, there was an alternative motion submitted by the BC, and that motion was not seconded. Now, next slide shows what was the difference and why this between those two approaches and these two motions. And that is one point we should take into consideration within our discussion. Just in general, the first motion, which came from the drafting team, was about implementation of the OTF, the Outreach Task Force. And this task force should be responsible for developing the GNSO outreach strategy. That meant, okay, a separate task force had to be established with participation of the stakeholder groups here, and that would be responsible for doing that. So the second approach was, and that was the second motion, was that compared with that, staff should compile and collect information about ICANN's already ongoing outreach and participation activities. And throughout that process, council should postpone the internal discussion about that until the receipt of this report. So the approach of these two approaches mirror the different thinking behind that and the different items which are contentious. So the item is the question, what is the role and the involvement of the GNSO Council here in this respect versus the role and involvement of the stakeholders with respect to outreach. And this is and still an ongoing discussion and an open question, and I would like, that is the major item, I would like to invite all of the participating and people here in this room and from the stakeholder groups and from the GNSO community well to contribute to that question. So at the end, where are we staying? So we have, on the one hand, we have defeated the motion which dealt with over 1 year with the OTF question, and we did not, and the other motion was even not supported. It was not discussed, let me say, because there was no seconder of this motion within the council. So what I would like to suggest right now is, from that point of view, we have, as an open point, to address the mandate which was given to the GNSO by the board with respect to the outreach and participation. So that came a long time ago, let me say, more than 2 or 3 years, with the improvement implementation process, that the GNSO should come up with something, recommendations with regards to outreach. So we have to address that. And we have to think about how to address this. And for this, we should discuss, and also for our internal understanding, we should discuss the roles in this respect between councils, the council role and the stakeholders' role with regards to the outreach. So this is my brief intro to that. And I would like to take a cue for those who participate in the discussion. First, I saw him, then secondly, Jeff, and then Carlos, and then Marilyn. Bill
Drake. I guess I have to start by questioning the framing a little bit, Wolf, Ulrich. I mean, we have a small disagreement, I guess, about what the underlying problem has been. it has been suggested, including in your slides, that this is an issue of the stakeholder groups in the community versus the council being responsible. I've never been able to understand that in any kind of concrete way that's related to the actual proposal that we decided not to support, because, in fact, the outreach task force concept was to have a community-based framework. I mean, it says, if you read the report, there should be one representative from each GNSL stakeholder group and constituency, and then two representatives from each geographical region, etc. It's never been the understanding. Most people I know that were interested in supporting some sort of outreach activity, that what we were trying to do was construct the GNSL Council as some sort of imperial Politburo that was floating above the stakeholder groups and would command them all and manage them and deny them the ability to do any independent work of their own or anything like that. Rather, the idea was that we were going to try to have a collective mechanism so that people would have incentives to cooperate on what ought to be a reasonably non-divisive activity. I mean, of all the things we're involved in which we tend to have sharp differences, the question of reaching out to people who ought to be engaged in the work of the GNSO in developing countries and so on, and trying to get more involvement, I would think ought to be something everybody's kind of on the same page. And so, therefore, a collaborative activity that mobilized some spirit of communal effort of trying to coordinate some initiatives, share best practices, share ideas about how to do outreach more effectively, and so on, as a layer that exists alongside what goes on within stakeholder groups, I would have thought would have been pretty non-controversial. But instead, what happened when all this came up after a very long delay, when finally we got to the motion, was, you know, we had all this kind of, I don't want to recapitulate all of the back and forth that happened, but there was a lot of 11th hour kind of changes where suddenly people were presenting what the OTF group had done as some sort of, you know, horrific, almost Stalinist kind of plan. And it just left some of us baffled. And I just think it really created an environment where, you know, a lot of people had thought we were all on the same page and doing something that ought to be pretty much a no-brainer, and suddenly it was a contentious point, and there was kind of various kinds of maneuverings that were just puzzling. So that ended up leaving us now with nothing. And to me, the idea of we go back and we just say, well, we let the staff do a survey, and then the stakeholder groups are all just kind of go off on their own, that doesn't strike me as really a community kind of activity. That seems more like a mandate for individual silos to build their own special relations with various constituencies out there. And I don't think that's what we want. I would think that ICANN community ought to be, and the GNSO community ought to be doing these things with a measure of coordination amongst everybody across stakeholder lines.
Thank you, Bill. Next is Jeff.
One of the questions I had was a fairly simplistic one. When we say the board's mandate was for the GNSO to address outreach and participation, did the board say the GNSO council or just say the GNSO as a community or just left it vague? I think that's what the whole discussion has been about. And, you know, obviously some groups and constituencies feel stronger about this issue than others. The registries were going, you know, had no problem supporting the motion. We actually requested a deferral, the initial deferral, because in our view, when I think it was John Berard had presented the business constituencies issues, I thought it was going to be a simple matter of just tweaks to that original motion, and then it just kind of skyrocketed from there. I think there's nothing wrong with us sending a message to the chairs of the stakeholder groups, strongly encouraging them that they do this organization by a certain time, even to try to, you know, push them a little bit so that something does get done. But, you know, I am sympathetic to the view that this is not really policy development. It's important, but it's not really policy development. If there's anything the council could do to offer its support and encouragement to get the leaders of these groups, I mean, you know, the non-commercial chair, the chair of the BC, I know, is obviously willing to do this. I know the chair of the registries as well, and, you know, I'm sure the other groups. If we can offer encouragement for them to get on it and then, you know, maybe criticize them if they don't, I mean, this is what they're volunteering for. I think that's the role of the council in this, as opposed to setting up a council working group supervised by council. If we could do that and it works, hey, I think let's give it a shot. Let's actually give them what they're asking for. Tell the SG chairs, you guys have this mandate, and the constituency chairs, you guys have this mandate, do it. If you don't do it and we're not satisfied within a couple months or the next, by Prague, that you're making progress, then we will step in because, you know, you need some coordination. I don't know, Marilyn, I don't know if she heard that or not, but that's my view.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. Just briefly to your question, whether it was addressed to the GNSO or the GNSO Council, explicitly it was the GNSO, really, but and the GNSO was incorporated in all these development and of the implementation as well. So there's no question about that. The question is, one of those questions is, since the group has worked over, let me say, about 2 years, we should avoid, or we should think about, that we shouldn't mislead groups, working groups, in such a way that they are working for 2 years and at the end the outcome is not that much, or is seen as not that much appreciated as it was intended to be. But okay, that is just an opinion. Carlos, please.
Thank you, Wolf. Just some thoughts. First of all, I strongly support the original proposal made by Olga in her working group. I know that was defeat, but the motion, but the motivation for the first and defeat before, after, was that the outreach work is in stakeholder and constituencies scope. But I want to say that it's not true. At least in my region, in Latin American and Caribbean, there are no registries based in. There are only a few registrars, and the other constituencies and stakeholders are invisible. So the outreach doesn't exist. And if we want a better GNSO, if we want a better improve the bottom up, and if we want one world and one internet, we need an informed participation, and participation is after outreach. We need outreach. GNSO is in my region, at least, or anybody knows about GNSO in my region. GNSO is nothing. Doesn't exist. Um, For that, I strongly support the consideration. Again, the first motion. Outreach never is so much. So, why deny a new possibility to do or get more outreach? Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. Just for clarification, and I hope it is sort of a common view here in this room, there is, to my understanding, there is no question about that outreach is needed. The only question, the major question, is how we shall deal with it and how we shall, how that should be done. And this is contentious here in that. So just for having the same ground here. So Marilyn, next.
Thank you. Well, it's Marilyn Cade speaking for the transcript. I think I appreciate the comment that you made because, and I'm going to defer to John to make most of the BC's points, but I think it is important as the chair of the BC that I make it very clear from the beginning, the BC has been committed to awareness, outreach, participation, and involvement across all of ICANN stakeholder groups. Not just the GNSO's constituencies and stakeholders, but much more broad than that. We're committed to the survival of the organization and the improvement of the organization. But our concern is that there's a great deal going on. Things have changed, even in the structure of the organization since this initial group was chartered. Looking back in retrospect, I would say perhaps all of us, including the council, may have learned a lesson about needing to take stock along the way about whether certain initiatives we charter may be affected by external changes, such as the creation of the stakeholder groups. But the other thing that has happened is there's been an evolution and an evolvement of proposals from larger funding from the ICANN budget on awareness and communication. There are budget proposals from the other supporting organizations, from the constituencies, from the SGs, to initiate activities. And there's no coherence right now that ties all of those together to achieve the common goal as well as the individual and specific goals. My support for the motion John made on behalf of the BC, it is that coherence we're seeking. We're very supportive of moving forward with coherent and effective approaches that address awareness, outreach, participation, and involvement. But we are not supportive of the initial approach that was taken. The goals, however, I think are common to all.
Thank you, Marilyn. I have a cue. John, Zahid, Chuck. John is first.
Thank you, Wolf. First, let me say that I am happy to own the impasse. I'm not backing away from having offered an alternative motion, even though that motion gained no second. Primarily because the motion that I offered reflects, as Liz has just reminded me, the specific board resolution from June of 2008, which was directed at the staff and not the GNSO Council. And so, combined with the fact that there are two things that members of the business constituency are most opposed to. One is unnecessary overhead, and so the Bill, I think that our conversation at the time of my motion, in which you were suggesting that I was suggesting that there were some Stalinist plot here to control the minds and behavior of people. You know, I'm not sure that that stuff really ever works, but that wasn't my intention. My intention was to make sure that we were not creating an organization that would cost money and divert attention from the task at hand. The other thing that business constituency members are opposed to is non-strategic investment. you know, we have all seen the inability to solve problems just by throwing money at them. And our concern was that we did not even know what outreach was being conducted before we were willing to create a superstructure to help guide it. So creating an interim step to find out what's going on before we could then decide how to best promote it seemed prudent to us. There's the last thing that I would want to do is to dampen the enthusiasm of people like Carlos, because we share that enthusiasm for expanding ICANN. But one of the questions that I think at some future GNSO Council and board meeting might be, what the heck are you guys doing to promote ICANN? Why should someone in Latin America or East or Europe have a sense of the GNSO if they have no sense of what ICANN is? And so the integration of the outreach efforts on the part of the constituencies and the stakeholder groups needs to be aligned with what ICANN is doing on its own. So I think that I believe the business constituency as a whole agrees that there are far too many things we don't know to create a new superstructure that could distract or cost money that we might not need to spend.
Thank you, John. Zahid is next.
Thank you. I want to just chime in. I have said this before as well. The work that Olga and her team did was extremely valuable to the community. I don't want to in any way say that that should just be put to the side, so maybe there's a way that we can feed that into whatever process we choose to take forward. So it's not a question about whether we should have outreach or not have outreach. I think everybody is unanimous that work on outreach has to be done. It's just a question of how it needs to be done. I will note something. We weren't asked, the GNSO wasn't asked to come up with this outreach program. If I'm not mistaken, and maybe staff can correct me, I think the board had said that staff has to come up with an outreach program, and that's why this was being done. The proposal is to do something leaner. Get the constituencies and stakeholder groups to basically provide their input, and I completely agree with Jeff. Let's give it to them for a few months. Let the chairs and the leaderships of the constituents SGs come up with it. And if they aren't able to, then the GNSO can take, you know, control and say, well, you know, you had the opportunity, but maybe we need to do a coordinated role. But I think that opportunity needs to be given to the SGs and the constituencies, because I think that they are ultimately responsible for a lot of the outreach efforts that need to happen for who's going to join their constituencies and SGs. So I just wanted to make that point. Also, is there a staff compilation document about outreach? If there is one, it would be nice to get a copy circulated.
Thank you, Zahid. Well, I have to make clear, I think so. What John and Zahid was mentioning regarding the staff's role versus the GNSO role here in this respect, I cannot imagine that we have been misled. The former council has been misled that way to deal with an item which was not supposed to be an item to deal with. So then everybody must have slept that time, you know. But this is not. That would be unbelievable. So I think so. Maybe Chuck later on could say something to that. But I have in the queue then Rafiq, and before we go the next one, then we will go. And to Chuck. Rafiq at first.
Okay. So it's Rafiq for the transcription. I want more clarification, but I wanted to respond to Marlene when she said that there was some external context that should change if I said correctly, the output of the report because the existence of stakeholder groups. But in that time, we already integrated wording to highlight that there is stakeholder groups and constituencies. So we already, in the working group, integrated that, and we understand about that new external changes. So if we really talk about external changes, is that the ICANN need more internationalization and bringing more participant to the community, and this why the outreach is really urgent task that we are just delaying. The working group worked more than 2 years, and the report that was sent to the Geneso Council since a while, and there was already drafting team. So discovering after that there is maybe some problems when already the BC has a representative in the working group who already make comments and some feedback, it's a little bit strange, and still I don't understand the problem. It's the outreach task force is not aimed to be a kind of suprastructure controlling the outreach activities, but just try to bring all the community participants to work in the same goal, to bring new people, to new blood to the Geneso.
Thank you, Rafik. Before I refer to Chuck, maybe I thought you had a text from that time. Okay, then Chuck, please. Chuck.
Well, let me start off, first of all, with some old history. The very beginning of the GNSO, I don't know if it was 99 or 2000, there were a bunch of working groups that were formed. I happened to be on one. I think it was, if my memory is correct, then it might not be. I think it was Working Group E. Guess what topic it was on? Outreach. Now, nothing ever happened of that. There were some recommendations made, but nothing ever happened of that, to my knowledge. I think all of us have always appreciated the need for that, and that's come across here in this meeting. Now, I was also involved indirectly and directly in this working group. I started off as chair of the Operations Steering Committee, and then when I became council chair, I backed away from that and just participated otherwise, so as not to have a conflict there. I can tell you that a lot of input was given to this group by those who participated, and they made a lot of changes because some of the same concerns I think that the BC is concerned about were brought up in that group. One of the things, and please take this for what it's meant, I know how busy all of us are, that you can't participate in everything, that it's difficult for every stakeholder group and constituency to participate actively in all groups. We're the same way in the registries. We have to make conscious decisions. But I think one of the unfortunate things that we're dealing with right here is, and it illustrates how important it is for us to have people actively involved earlier in the process, is that things like this happen after the fact. It would have been much better if the concerns that are being expressed right now came up in the working group itself. So I'm not going to belabor that, but I think it illustrates to us as leaders in our various groups to make sure that we do our best to get people involved with these things when they're being worked. Otherwise, it undermines the process. It makes the people who spend all the time, and this group did work for a long time, feel like that their efforts were wasted. So, after that general counseling thing that probably you didn't even want to hear, let's talk about the issue at stake. I think we have to be very careful about how we handle this. The group did come up with some recommendations. It's perfectly in the council's purview to reject the recommendations, okay, or to modify them, or even to go back to the group. I don't know if that's realistic at this time, and ask for changes. Sorry about that, those of you who are on the group, of even suggesting such a thing. But it should be done with caution. Now, are there some improvements that can be made? It'd be good if there could be some. Maybe we can do like the U.S. Congress does, where the two houses have a reconciliation process between bills that are different. The BC has come up with some suggestions. I don't know if there are some people within the the group remaining that could sit down and talk about maybe some ways to reconcile that. That might be one idea. One thing I caution against is just, you know, totally changing the recommendations of the working group without some consultation with some of the members there to see if there can be some compromise that can be reached. What I'm perceiving here is you have some people on one side that are saying, let's just go with the recommendations. There are some suggestions made. Would it be possible to have a little reconciliation group, not a PDP, not a working group, just to see if maybe there's some ways that we could bring our concerns together and accomplish the outreach goal that, like I said, really started way back at the beginning of ICANN, and not too much has happened in that regard. So I think we do need to make something happen.
Thank you very much, Chuck, for that explanation. And I still have Bill and then John, the next Bill.
Thank you, Bill Drake. everybody says they agree that outreach is important. We should do it, so that's great. We're halfway there. Now the next step is how. John, just not to go back through all the history. The only point that I was making in using those words is that you'd sent several messages and on calls use words like centralization, bureaucratization. Now today the word is superstructure. And all of these words have sort of this sense of them, and that we're creating some sort of a monstrosity that I don't see in the OTF report at all. So the bottom line is the issue is not the GNSO Council doing everything versus stakeholder groups doing everything. The issue is stakeholder groups doing things by themselves or stakeholder groups doing things in coordination with each other. And people who supported the OTF approach, which was calling for creating a group of stakeholder representatives, not of, you know, the council to run everything, but of stakeholder representatives, were imagining a process by which we would all get together and share information and coordinate on the things we say we care we want to do. And so why that would turn into a problematic or divisive issue is just beyond me, unless we're starting from a presumption that there shouldn't be coordination, that we don't want to have to work together, and that we just want to go off on our own. And if that's what we want, if we want to just say, you know, ICANN, please give each stakeholder group a pot of money, and we'll go off and we'll cultivate our own little outreach efforts and make our brochures and do our things, then that's a completely different kind of model from saying we as a community try to work together towards a shared objective, which is a non-controversial and non-political objective. I tend to think the latter is better. And this also goes to the other point that Marilyn raised about the lack of overall coherence. Yeah. I mean, there is this stuff going on at several different levels within the organization. So do we respond to that by getting rid of the only mechanism for creating coherence at the GNSO level and doing everything only at the stakeholder group level individually? Or do we try to coordinate within the GNSO community, A, and then with other parts of ICANN in the context of these larger initiatives? Again, I would think that the latter is a more sensible approach. We're going to be hampering our ability to contribute to any overall coordination within the organization if we limit our own ability internally. So, you know, let's not have a debate about something that's not on the table. That not on the table is the GNSO Council will be running everything. The GNSO Council is doing things that are not policy. The GNSO Council, all the GNSO Council was supposed to do was to approve the charter of the outreach task force and appoint a chair, and then, you know, people would get together and start working. So it really wasn't more than that.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. So we have still 15 minutes to go for this session, and I would like then to give the floor to John, and then we should talk about the next steps, which already Chuck started about to make some suggestion or some had some opinion about, let me say, about that. So John, and then maybe Marika, and then yes, okay, John, please.
So there is no objection to coordinating outreach. The objection was to creating a mechanism to coordinate it before that we knew what was going on. It was our view that we should first understand what people were up to, how they were up to it, and have the staff do that survey that then could help perhaps guide the design of the coordination. Okay, so specifically, the motion that I offered was merely to vote on recommendation, I think it was 3 of the prior motion before we decided to take on the rest of it. So there was never any this is the worst thing since whatever the worst thing has ever been. It was, as you know, as I have tried to do since I took the seat here, was to find out what the heck the data was. What do we know before we make decisions on what to do next? And you know, Chuck, I apologize if you thought otherwise. I certainly wasn't I wasn't seeking to throw anything out. The ostensible conclusion was that it would be a bit delayed, but I thought it would be better to know rather than to just jump headlong into the pool. And you know, look, there are some we could in a sidebar get into a conversation about how ICANN has allocated the funds that it has allocated for outreach, which, if you're a member of the GNSO in general, you should find, you know, objectionable. So there may be some ardor linked to that annoyance. But no, I think that it's best to know, and once we do, we can then make an informed decision.
Marika, please.
This is Marika. So I have a question from on behalf of a remote participant from George Kirikos. He asks, has it ever been proposed that as part of the RIA, registrants be emailed once a year in their native language on how they can participate in ICANN? Example given, just like the annual WHOIS reminders, and or maintaining a permanent link on a registrar's homepage to encourage outreach, although there's no real registrant's constituency at present.
Well, I don't have an answer. I have a response. And I think one of my responses is that would be spam. That would be telling a registrar to basically, or requiring a registrar to email all of its customers with something that has nothing to do with their business. So I think that's not been considered, but I think probably for good reason.
In response to the question, if I might, it's Marilyn. Don't we need to, when we get questions like that, point out that ICANN has a very robust ALAC initiative, and I know the chair's in the room, and that many people who might not presently have a constituency may be able to actively participate through the ALAC?
Okay, thank you. So we have, is it directed to that point, or so?
Registrars don't always have their information with the registrar. This is one of the issues, right? So if somebody's using a proxy, how do you get the information to them?
Thank you very much. So we have 10 minutes left. So I would like to talk about the options we may have. So with regards to the outreach item and handling the outreach item, I would like to say that I think we all followed the processes we have implemented so far. That means the working team followed their process, they provided support and so on to the council, and then the council moved about that, and the result is what we have right now. So this is the report was, or the motion on the question of the establishing the OTF was rejected. Another motion was not seconded. So it was not discussed also because it was not seconded. So what are the options we have? So at the end, there shall be a, what I have written down here, an address to the board, yeah, to say something, what we have dealt with, what is our outcome of that whole discussion. But what are the options about that? Do we really have the option, well, to step into the existing motions, the past motions again? Or isn't that a way leading to the same result, let me say, if you go that way? So that's one question. The other is, if we do not, then I would understand the thing is so far over. But anybody of the council or any group could come up with a new motion about that issue and try to get it through the council. So what is the real options? I would like to have some ideas about that. So if you do not nothing, then if you don't do anything, then the status quo is as it is. So it is. It seems to be finished. If somebody comes up with something, with a new directive or with some proposal, so we can pick it up and do that. So, Thomas, please.
This is possibly slightly off topic, but ICO, the Association of the German Internet Industry, has recently carried out an update to its study, also asking registrars whether they pass on promotional material by the registries to their resellers, and less than 10% would do so. So I think it's, in general, very difficult to stimulate a process whereby information is passed on to the next hub in the reseller chain, if you wish. And therefore, I think different mechanisms are needed in order to reach those who would be eligible parties to participate in the ICANN process. And I think each and every registrant would certainly not be interested in participating. At the same time, discussing this at the council level and seeing this discussion lingering on for such a long time, I have to honestly admit that I'm not an expert in identifying channels to bring across this message. And therefore, I ask myself whether this would be the appropriate forum to make decisions for which at least my expertise is not relevant.
Okay, we have a contribution here from the floor. Please say your name and...
Okay. Yes, I would like you to, if you can, take
your
a look
name?
At
your name, please.
Carlos Afonso. I'm a former board member of GNSO. I'm with the NCUC. If you can take a look at www.icann.org.br, is a Portuguese version that the Brazilian Internet Steering Committee maintains of the ICANN site with the relevant resolutions, main topics being discussed, etc., reasonably updated, I think, until February 17th. And just to show you that there may be several efforts at promoting ICANN, which should be taken into account in a policy to promote the organization, GNSO, and all its supporting organizations, etc. Incidentally, the Portuguese site, which I am showing you now, is not explicitly linked from the ICANN main site. Okay? That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a further contribution from here.
Thanks very much. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, I'm the chair of the At-Large Advisory Committee. Thanks for allowing me to speak in your meeting. Just a couple of points. I think the first one is... ever since I've been in ICANN, I've been fighting against the issue of having silos. I see outreach being discussed here. We have outreach being discussed tomorrow in our room. There's outreach being discussed in other parts of ICANN, and we all say the same thing. We all say outreach is needed. We need to have more people involved. but everyone appears to be fighting against the other constituencies and the other communities because there's just one pot of money that everyone has to share from. And I think that's very unproductive. I think that ultimately outreach is something that should benefit all of us. And these are my personal views on the matter, but outreach should benefit all of us. And, you know, we've had a policy in At Large to have one ALS, one At Large structure in every country. We're far from reaching that yet, but we are signing up more at-large structures because we need new volunteers to come into the structure. The ICANN multi-stakeholder structure is only there because of the volunteers that are here, and the big danger is volunteer burnout because the same people have to go from working group to working group, and you just get taken up into it until you end up not doing your real work because you've got another life as well. You end up spending all your time on ICANN-related matters. So more volunteers are required all the time. You will get some that will leave, that will come back, etc. And that's valid not only for internet users in ALAC, but also for business, for all of the different constituents of the GNSO. To summarize what my point, I think that it's important that we coordinate somehow the outreach. I know that when we try to sign up new at-large structures, sometimes from at-large structures meeting with new potential at-large structures, they don't fit the at-large criteria. They might fit the BC criteria, or they might fit another part of the organization. And we should be able to share this information between the different SOs and ACs. I think it's really important. I also appeal on the GAC to be able to give some leads as to what organizations would be able to join ICANN in different SOs and ACs. And, of course, appeal on everyone here in the GNSO to be able to see if you have anyone that would like to join and to take part in the GNSO's work, but might not quite fit into some of the categories that the GNSO has. That if they fit in the individual internet user part or the at-large structure part, then to send them over to ALAC. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier, for your thoughts, and I appreciate that as well, also to get input from other SOs, ACs, to that. Since we have only 2 minutes left for these items, so I wonder whether we could come to a conclusion right now. So I would say, so this is a suggestion to make. So since we have still see the most contentious item, I would say, on the table. So isn't that we have to address something to the body which gave us a mandate to deal with it. So are we in a position to answer that request? It could be an answer in any kind, you know, either okay, just explaining the situation as we are, and so that we are in a kind of deadlock, maybe we come to a different conclusion. But that would mean, if you would like to come to that conclusion, that we have to sit together. Some of our people have to sit together again. And think about do we find a way out of this, and rather than to have these polarized positions, let me say, the different ones, and communicate that to the board. My suggestion would be that, let me say, three of us or four of us sit together to do that. Try that. So that, and the proponents were John on the one hand, Bill on the other side. I would be a volunteer to that. So we don't have the leader of that group. So Olga has left the council, but maybe we have somebody of that group available. That would be my suggestion. Well, to find it must not be the result of a new motion, but it could be a message to the council. Okay, that's the situation at the time being, and we have only that message, which is a kind of consensus message we could convey to to the board. So that would be my suggestion. But any comment to that? Very last round of comments to that, and then we close the session. Bill was first, and then okay. Chuck. Bill. Chuck? Okay, good.
Thanks, Bill. And, well, if I can be of any help in that suggestion, I'd be happy to. I just one real brief comment. In hearing a lot of the discussion and the concerns and so forth, I can't help but come to a personal conclusion that these are things that the task force could be dealing with. But that said, maybe it's a group like this or even a preliminary task force that kind of does the work on this. I think there's a way forward on this. And again, if I can be of any help on that, I'll be happy to volunteer as well.
Thank you very much. Chuck, Bill?
Actually, I was going to say we need contracted party people in the group, number one, so Chuck solved that problem. And then the only other question is whether we want to try and talk about a one-step-at-a-time thing, and we should put that back on the table. And I guess my point would be the original document called for the outreach task force group to actually do the survey. John's suggesting staff do the survey, and then we'll think about it. So this is maybe one of the first things we could focus on, and whether there should be two steps to this. If it's just the survey, and then we stop and we think, that's one thing. If it's we do the survey, and then something else happens, then we're talking about a different situation. So I just put those on the table for our consideration when we do this.
Okay, John, any comments with that?
No, I think we've pretty much covered this from A to Z. I'm more than happy to serve on any transitional task force that we might, as long as we can vote on having our meetings in some nice place.
Okay.
But no, I think that there
San
is.
Francisco.
I think that the small group that you have picked can, I think, can find a solution to this.
Okay, and the contracted parties would be represented by Chuck, I suppose. Last comment, please, Marion, because
so
we are over time.
Can I have clarity on this, that this interim whatever is going to try to seek a compromise, not spring forward as a substitute for a task force that I do not feel there's support for? So can we have clarity on that? Because I will say from taking notes on some of the comments, I'm not sure there's clarity on the purpose of this small group is to seek a compromise, which would come back and present the compromise.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes,
okay,
that's correct.
John can go to a meeting in a good place then.
Yes, okay, thank you very much. So I would like to just to contact after this session you both and just to put together some points here and so that we can organize ourselves, and then I would say thank you very much for your contributions, and this session is over. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolf. Thanks, everybody. Let's have a really short recess, and then we will continue with an item on the IRTP Part C. Start in 2 minutes, please. Thank you.
Okay, can I ask councillors to come back to the table, please? We have James Bladel here, who is going to do an update on the IRTP Part C PDP working group. Are we supposed to have Avery as well? Okay, Avery perhaps will not be able to make it, but if I can ask councillors to come back to the table, and we'll start this in a minute. Thank you very much. Okay. Operator, please start this session. Great. Thank you very much. So we are starting again with an item on the Inter-Registrar Transfer Policy Part C. As you know, this is an ongoing PDP that has already required a lot of community effort and community work. Once again, we extend our thanks to the people involved in these working groups. This is a five-part, is it five or six? It's five, isn't it? Five-part process. This is the third installment, and it will go up to Part E. And we are now going to hand the mic over to James Bladel, who will give us an update on the Part C working group. Thanks, James.
Thanks, Stefan. And as you mentioned, this is the third in a series of five PDPs involving the inter-register transfer process. So here's where we are. This IRTP was a policy that was adopted in 2004. It is a straightforward process for registrants to transfer domain names. It is, I can tell you from the perspective of a registrar, oh, I'm sorry, I should probably announce I am from GoDaddy.com, a GNSO registrar, for those of you who didn't know me. I should get that out there. And this is an important part of our business practices. This is an important component of the competitive market for registrars because it allows registrants who are unhappy with the services that are being provided by the registrar to vote with their feet and move to someone else. So it is the foundation of consumer choice in our competitive industry. This PDP is reviewing this process because there it is the number one area of complaints to ICANN. I think far and away, the statistics from compliance show that this is not only the majority, but I think somewhere in the neighborhood of two-thirds of the complaints and incidents that are open with ICANN. So it's a very sensitive issue and an important issue. The third instance of this PDP, IRTP Part C, has a smaller charter than some of the others, but it's by no means a do we get any kind of a break here? It is still very complex. Here are the three charter questions. The first involves a change of control function. As we have noticed, the transfer function is being used as a de facto means to transact or change the control from one assignee to another. This is occurring both in domain name secondary markets, but also in other circumstances and scenarios, such as in mergers and acquisitions, or in situations where, for example, the enforcement of a implementation of a UDRP decision. So we wanted to take a look at that, including examining how this is done in other areas outside of GTLDs. Specifically, some CCTLDs have mature processes in this area. And we wanted to look at what this means in terms of domain name portability versus domain name security, and ensuring that anything that we would propose did not create new security vulnerabilities. The second item is whether or not the authorizations which registrars are required to obtain during the transfer process should have any sort of an expiration date. Right now, there is none mentioned in the policy, and that seems to be universally interpreted as they are forever. And I think that could present some security concerns, but we definitely want to get that clarified, and if the answer is that they were intended to be indefinite, then perhaps the policy should explicitly state so. And finally, this one is a little esoteric, but it involves the technical communication between registries and registrars. Currently, registries assign registrars proprietary ID numbers, and in the expected landscape of hundreds or perhaps thousands of GTLDs, this is going to scale, or this is not going to scale very well, and we are looking at requirements for registries to refer to registrars by their IANA ID, which will be universally and uniformly implemented across all registries. So those are the three questions that we have, and those are the things that we're currently debating. Any questions on those things? This is part of our charter that you approve, so I'm hoping this is fairly non-controversial. Oh, Jeff, go ahead.
Can you just help with this? Sorry, this is Jeff Newman. Just help with some examples of a form of authorization being forever. Are you saying that all of a sudden a registrant gives permission for a registrar to do the transfer, but it never happens? I mean, what's
yeah, correct. We see this most frequently, and if I can just draw the most common example, is in a domain name listing or auction site, where the form of authorization would be obtained in advance of the domain name actually selling, and then that would be essentially kept on record with the marketplace indefinitely, you know, and then the registrant may cancel the listing or perhaps decide to take it somewhere else, or maybe just decide not to sell it or sell it to a private party or something like that, but the FOA is still kind of out there live. So unless we have some means of looking at whether or not those should be expired, does an FOA, you know, outlive a renewal event, for example? I mean, these are things that we need to take a closer look at.
But, I mean, has there been an issue that's arised out of it, or it's just something we're looking into? Has anyone complained saying, yeah, I know I gave that authorization a year ago, but I didn't really mean it for today?
Yeah, I'm not sure, and I can get back to you in looking as far as whether there's been some specific complaints. I know that it was something that was brought up during the group that put all these things together, and I think that there is some difference of interpretation amongst registrars, so I don't know if that constitutes a problem yet, but that's kind of what we're seeing right now. I see Mikey, you know, ran up here and wants to jump in, so go ahead, Mikey.
This is Mikey O'Connor for the transcript. The big issue is that with those sort of infinite FOAs, there's a pretty significant vulnerability for fraud. And so one of the problems that we're trying to address here is sort of the trade-off between convenience in a marketplace setting and security for domain holders that have never even heard of a marketplace, but, you know, there's a whole part of the domain renewal lifecycle in terms of the FOA that there's a pretty big vulnerability there right now.
So just a question, and the reason I'm asking a lot of questions is there's been a lot of IRTPs, and there's still a lot more to come. And so I'm just trying to get – you say it's a vulnerability. Is it one – it's a perceived vulnerability? It's one that – or has anyone ever exposed this vulnerability? I mean, like, I'm just trying to figure out if there's a way that we, at some point as a council, can put all these IRTPs to rest.
I mean, it's a good point, Jeff. And Mikey, I mean, I think the answer is we don't know. It's not come up. Now, if you have a specific anecdote, you can share real quickly. But okay, go ahead, Mikey.
You know,
but we want to
remember that these questions aren't our questions. These are questions that were chartered at the beginning of the IRTP. And, you know, I think that what we are facing here is a learning thing that says, knowing what we know now in terms of how to do a PDP, we probably wouldn't do this way. However, this was chartered long ago, and so we're not going to spend ages on this particular question, but it is a significant question, and it came out of a concern from the original IRTP working group that said, look, this is a vulnerability.
And if I may just add, actually the working group created a sub-team that's now going to look at data gathering, and one of the issues they're looking at is indeed, like, you know, have you encountered this problem, and, you know, if so, what happened, to indeed get an idea of, is this a really big issue, and if the feedback would be this has never happened, has never been an issue, the working group might conclude, well, maybe there is no need, indeed, if there is no problem. So they are looking into that and considering that.
Yeah, so, no, I mean, we are looking at whether or not this is a real or perceived. It's a good point, Jeff. I don't mean to cut you off, but it is something that, you know, and perhaps there's no there. So moving on to the next one, and I hope this will lend to your point, Jeff.
Can I just, Yoav, I see your hand up. Can I just ask that we give James time to finish his presentation and ask questions? Is that okay? Thank you.
That's good. Thanks, Stefan. And then to your point, Jeff, that these IRTPs have been stacked up and there's a couple more on deck. We've adopted a very aggressive timeline. So we want to wrap this thing up in 9 months. It was kicked off shortly after Dakar, and we have targeted Toronto as our final recommendations. You can see here some of the milestones that we've identified and things that we've already done. We've got a detailed approach that we've developed to tackle each of the charter questions, so we're not just swinging at the air or, as working groups are wont to do, going back over the same arguments over and over again. So we have established that. We've reached out to not only stakeholder groups and constituencies, but also some specific folks within the CCNSO. And as Marika indicated, we've created two sub-teams to tackle specific questions, one of which is about the FOAs, and another one is to look at what an ideal change of control process would look like. In Costa Rica, we have two events scheduled. The first is an open working group face-to-face meeting, which will be Wednesday morning. This is our typical one-hour weekly meeting with 30 minutes tacked on for open Q&A. So we're encouraging everyone to please go back to your respective stakeholder groups and constituencies and let them know that this outreach is coming. And if they have specific questions or comments, that we would love to hear about them, especially if they've been burned by having an indefinite FOA. We definitely want to hear from those folks. Then right after that, we're meeting with, I believe, I wouldn't say the entire CCNSO, is it? It is the CCNSO. Okay. I thought it was specific folks from the CCNSO, but I think it's the CCNSO. Okay. So those interested parties within the CCNSO, some of which, as we indicated, have a mature change of control process, and we want to learn a little bit more about how that's implemented and what their experiences are with that. Okay. So now we will go back to questions. And Yoav, I think you were patiently waiting there, so go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Actually, it's a question or a comment. I think it would be helpful also to get an understanding, some input from from the registrars, the stakeholder group, on what are the practices that they actually do. Is are for example for that point that Jeff raised, how many of the registrars actually keep this forever, or maybe they expire, they do put an expiration date on the FOAs? How do they treat that, and did they encounter cases of people saying, hey, I gave that and someone stole my domain, it was a year ago or something? I know we never had such a case, but maybe others did, so it would be maybe good to just approach our stakeholder group.
Yeah, thanks, and that is exactly the nature of the data gathering sub-team that we've established. So there will be a survey probably coming your way in the future. I would say please respond, as well as the other registrars. I should mention that this is a registrar-heavy working group, and you know, before I see the eyebrows raise, I should mention that that's probably not unexpected. Transfers are coordinations between registrars who are otherwise not inclined to play nicely with one another. So it's natural, I think, that we would have a number of registrars participating in these IRTP working groups. So any other, Jeffrey?
Yeah, my question's not for you, James. It's more to the council, I think. Or actually, first a question to ICANN staff, to Marika, I guess. Is there a way you can outline all of the, not just C, but D or whatever we go up to, all of the issues that still remain on transfers, and maybe to revisit, as you said, or as Mikey said, I think, maybe this isn't the way we would have structured it had we done this from the beginning, but we still have a number of transfer issues that remain, and I could foresee, even though 9 months is really aggressive and a great, you know, if you could do that, that's extremely aggressive for a working group. But, you know, figure that's, okay, Part C takes a full year, then D, E, or whatever we go up to, you're still talking about years' worth of work being done, and that's not even accounting for any new issues that may have arisen in the transfer world. So is there a new way the council can get a list of all the issues, maybe reorganize it, or maybe figure out, you know, we may not need to do this in D, E, and F anymore?
Yeah, so the list of issues already exists, and I can send that to the council without any problems, because that was the list that was developed by the original transfer working group. And I think the way they actually categorized it, so, you know, you're saying it might go faster, but I think the way they categorized it was the easy issues first and the more difficult ones later. So it might mean that D and E are actually more complex issues. But at the same time, I've already looked a little bit ahead. You know, I have some questions as well, because there's, you know, that review took place over such a long period of time. It's sometimes really hard to find what the actual issue was. There's this one sentence that's the issue. But to me, it's not clear at all what is meant. So on some of the issues, I have been doing some digging and been able to find out what was behind it. But indeed, it might be a good idea to revisit that list and maybe indeed do a little, you know, survey, or, you know, especially probably ask registrars, like, you know, are these issues still valid? Or I know some issues have been resolved, for example, as well by using EPP that have become less of an issue. So I'll send that list, and I think it would be a good idea to maybe look at it and possibly ask as well if there are new issues that have arisen. Because, for example, the first one on the list here came from the previous discussions. It wasn't one of the items that was on the transfer list, but it was identified as, you know, an obstacle or a thing that should be considered. So I'll do that.
Because when did this start again?
This one or the whole thing?
The whole thing.
I think it started in 2005, I think, already. I think there were several iterations. I think they first had a group to, you know, gather issues. I think then staff did as well a memo. Then there was a group that actually went through, you know, prioritizing those. And I think then it went to the council. And then they said, okay, let's move forward. But I think there was a bit of a lapse at some point in that process, because I think one of the chairs, you know, dropped out, or was at least it took a very long time to actually get to that stage of this is the list of
right.
PDPs.
So we're 7 years in, and probably another 7 years left to go.
No, and you know, we're not completely oblivious to that. I mean, we have done a lot of shifting things around and trying to pack more and front load this process a little bit, Jeff. So I mean, your concerns are shared. Exactly, and we borrow from later working groups and move those into earlier working groups at least on one occasion.
Yeah,
Sahi.
I think I just wanted to say, I mean, I apparently have this role as liaison with this from the council, and I just wanted to sort of say that, you know, it was a very interesting way that this working group really worked through the walkthroughs we had, the presentations that were there. I learned a lot about the actual practical mechanism, and you know, it was very transparent, and it wasn't just by a one or two presentations. There were several people, and anybody could basically make that presentation and share their experiences. So I found it was extremely useful. It brought a lot of issues, and a lot of things were identified, as you said. Well, we hadn't identified earlier. Maybe we need to work on this. And I think speaking to the point of it's registrar heavy, I have not felt with whatever calls I've been on and seeing what's happening that there's been a sort of an imbalance there at all. It's been very balanced. And also, the pace at which we're going is very sort of logical, and I think it's a fairly well-paced progress that I've seen. Just wanted to report that.
Thanks, Saheed. And we appreciate having you on the calls, too, by the way. Anyone else? Any other questions? Okay, so again, if you have interests or if you believe there might be interest within your stakeholder group, please alert those folks to the public outreach session that we're having on Wednesday. Thanks.
James, thanks a lot. we will stay with IRTP for our next session, but first of all, let's operator close this session and move straight into the next one, please. So 2 minutes just to switch over, and then we'll start again. Okay, so we'll start again, please. Operator, please start the recording. Great, so we'll start. We are still talking about registrar transfers. This is the status of the implementation of the recommendations that came out of the previous PDP, part of that PDP process, which is the IRTP Part B. We have Brian Peck here with us to take us through this, and Brian will also take us through the PEDNA recommendations, because Mike Zupke, who was supposed to be doing it, is unfortunately not being able to travel for personal reasons. So we wish Mike well, and we will hand the mic over to Brian. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Stefan, and good afternoon, everyone. As Stefan mentioned, we'll start first with the status of the implementation for IRTPB. This was approved by the board in August of last year, happy or pleased to report that we're finished with the actual implementation, and now in terms of having the registrars giving a reasonable period of time to comply with the new requirements and obligations. Basically, just to quickly refresh your memories, under IRTPB, the GNSO approved two major revisions to the current existing policy. One was to establish an obligation for registrars to establish a transfer emergency action contact, or TEAC, if you will. And this basically allows for losing registrars to contact gaining registrars if there is a problem or an issue or concern with a pending transfer or transfer request. Won't be reading the screen for you here, but basically this is to set up a system, again, where all registrars have this TEAC established and allows for a quick communication. It basically requires for a human response to any sort of request for a concern or issue on a pending or transfer request, and that initial response must be provided within 4 hours of receiving the request. That doesn't mean that a solution has to be reached in 4 hours, but at least an initial response by someone that's qualified to handle or to resolve the issue that's being raised, again, is within 4 hours and to be worked on. The other key revisions that were approved by the board based on the GNSO recommendation were some modifications to the existing policy. One was that making it now a requirement for registrars of record to notify the registrar name holder or registrant of the transfer out request. Before, it was at discretion or it was voluntary. It is now a mandatory requirement. There were also two modifications to the denial reasons for a request. One was for reason number 6. It now requires that the objection must be provided with express and informed consent of the authorized transfer contact on an opt-in basis rather than before. Again, it was not required for that. The other is the deletion of what was previously denial reason number 7, which basically was when a domain name was already in locked status. The reason for being that is technically it's impossible to initiate a transfer when it's already in locked status. Therefore, there's no reason for a denial. And so for practical purposes, that particular denial reason was deleted. In terms of implementation, we have completed the actual revisions to the text with regards to those various modifications I just summarized. That has been cleared by legal. We recently posted the revised IRTP on the website. It's provided here with the specific, disclaimer that this goes into effect as of June 1st, but is up there at least for registrars to kind of see what these changes look like in terms of, again, the modifications to the denial reasons and the new TEAC requirement. A formal notice was sent out to the registrars on February 29th, also stating how to comply with the TEAC requirement. The effective date for the new revisions and obligations is the 1st of June. It was determined that a reasonable period of time for registrars to comply with the new obligations and requirements would take about 120 days, given especially the implementation of the TEAC requirement might be necessary to revise codes, change software, and so forth like that. And so the reasonable period of time, which is required under the RA, was to be basically 4 months or the 1st of June, 3 months or the 1st of June of this year. In terms of the TIAC implementation, the necessary technical adjustments have been made in radar. A new contact field has been set up that is now live and effective. The registrars were notified with the notice that they are, you know, requested or urged to fill in that contact field if they have a different or separate transfer emergency contact name. Otherwise, the default would be the current transfer contact or primary contact if the transfer contact was not present. Once logged in, the registrars on radar will have access to the contact information for all the registrars under the View All Registrars button. This feature, as I mentioned, is live now, but the actual use of the TIAC system and the response time requirement, again, are not effective or will not go into effect until June 1st. And again, just basically how the TIAC system will work, all the technical aspects to facilitate this system will be going live on the 1st of June and are already in place. And again, the message time and a date stamped will to facilitate the compliance will help keep records if necessary to resolve any disputes that might result after the TIAC system is implemented and put into place. Any questions on the implementation of IRTP Part B? Yes.
It is not really a question, but just, you know, to inform the Council as well that, of course, there were the two recommendations that the Council has recently voted upon that were still part as well of IRTP Part B, and one of those is expected to be considered by the ICANN Board coming Friday, the one relating to the new provision to replace the number 7 that was deleted on how to lock and unlock domain names, and for the other one, the clarification of who is status messages. There's still a public comment period open, and once that closes, you know, provided there are no substantive issues being raised, that will then as well be sent to the board, and then it will move as well into implementation.
Thanks, Marika. Anybody, any other questions? Okay. I think so. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so while Brian switches that over, we'll now move on to Pedna. And once again, look at the status of implementation of those recommendations. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Stefan. As Stefan mentioned, coming here for Mike Zepke, who is actually working on this on the staff level. But just to give you just a brief update, as you're well aware, the GNSO Council and the ICANN Board adopted 18 specific recommendations. As a result of the GNSO recommendation as well, a review team was formed consisting of members of the community to support the ICANN staff in the implementation of the recommendations. That team has been formed. Recent activities is in reviewing the approved changes as by the GNSO Council and adopted by the board. The ICANN staff team went through all the recommendations, one, to ensure the understanding of the intent and the identity and to identify potential areas for clarification. Since that time, the ICANN staff has submitted a list of issues and questions for clarification, which has been sent to the PEDNR review team for feedback. Basically, the next steps is to, we're waiting for the feedback from the PEDNR review team on the issues requiring clarification. The ICANN staff is looking forward to working constructively with the review team. Once they receive that feedback, the goal for the next trimester between now and Prague will be to develop a proposed implementation plan, which then again will be shared with the PEDNR review team for input and review. So that's basically where we're at with the PEDNR implementation status. So any questions on that? Yeah, Adam, sorry.
As someone who has been moderately involved in the process and am on the implementation group, I would say certainly I would value, and I suspect others might value, seeing interim work as we go along and not waiting for the full 18 recommendations to be dumped on us, and worst case scenario, tell you, no, you thought you understood, but you didn't. Mm-hmm. And the earlier the better we can get that sanity check. I think the more all of us will feel comfortable. At least certainly I will, and I would like to hope you will also.
Thank you. That's a very useful suggestion. Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments?
Okay. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you very much.
Coming and giving us that update. So we've got a short break now, which is a bit longer than anticipated, but we will reconvene at... Just a minute. Sorry, got too many papers on my desk. I think it's 4. Yes, so we will reconvene at 4 with the cross-community working group. What we might want to do is... Because the three remaining sessions are sessions that we could push forward if we wanted to by half an hour, and that way end earlier than we had planned. Is that something that everyone would be in agreement with? Great. So in that case, we will reconvene at 3:30 and just move everything forward by half an hour, please. Thank you very much.